I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 184 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Yes. I am Andy White, and I am joined by
Kelvin Newman.
Kelvin, what are we talking about today?
Well, I know people love it when we share tools, so it's a real simple episode today. It's 12 tools which I think could potentially make your link building, your content strategy, your content marketing, your blogging more successful. Now,
we should have saved this till Christmas. We could have another 12 tools for Christmas, 12, couldn't we?
Oh, never mind.
It's only 14 weeks or whatever.
Yeah. It's nearly Christmas. Anyway, first of those tools, Ubersuggest at ubersuggest.org. Now, Ubersuggest is a kind of keyword research tool, right? But it makes use of the auto suggestions that Google makes. So say I put in podcast, right? There's like those 10 suggestions that Google will have, podcast recording, podcast directory. So now that's good because I'm getting 10 of those. Now I have to kind of write them out by hand. I can't manually export them. Ubersuggest will manually, will allow you to export all those 10.
Okay.
But it's also very clever as well because it'll go podcast space A and see what those 10 suggestions are, or podcast space B and see what those 10 suggestions are.
Okay.
So like very quickly, you can put in a word, a couple of words, and it'll give you 270. So you'll have the first plus the space and every letter of the alphabet afterwards. Search terms that people are searching for. Now, if I've got to write content, that's great, right? Because if you can write a piece of content that exactly matches a search query and kind of a long tail one, these aren't going to be huge volumes. It doesn't tell you the volume of them. But in terms of quickly, very, very quickly getting an idea of what you could be writing about based on what people are searching for, Ubersuggest is absolutely amazing.
Does Ubersuggest give any idea of the frequency of searches?
No. Okay. Only so much in the fact that if it is one of those 10 suggestions, there's a logic that there should be some search volume in it because it's the suggestions are driven by volume.
And would you say that's a better keyword generating tool than, say, the classic sort of Google?
No, but it's kind of better for suggestions, if you see what I mean. So like the general AdWords tool is probably better for assessing relative popularity of keywords.
Okay.
So like inevitably, like, so say like using the podcast one, podcast space T might have 10 suggestions, right? Yeah. Well, we'll have 10 suggestions, and podcast space Z will have 10 suggestions as well. Now, it might well be suggestion 11 to 20 on T would be more popular than 1 to 10 on Z, if you see what I mean.
Right,
but it's quick, it's easy, and you then kind of use your judgment based on that.
It looks pretty as well.
Yeah.
I've just seen it, folks. It does look very pretty, the website.
Next up, we've got one from a good friend of mine, a guy called Yusef Sikander, who's put together a tool called Social Crawlytics. So that's socialcrawlytics.com. That's a free tool. You kind of get additional you kind of have to use tweets to get additional vouchers and stuff. But essentially, it tells you, it crawls all the pages of your, or the number of pages of your site that you tell it to crawl, or a competitor's site, and tells you how many social shares that content has across a variety of networks. So, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, all these types, Google Plus. And then you can quickly see on your site which pages of your site are the most socially shared, which is great. But the way I think it's most useful is you can look at your competitors and see which pieces of content they've got, which is, being the most popularly socially shared.
Kelvin, when you say socially shared, do you mean that, for example, Social Crawlytics is going off to Twitter and trying to find references to that page?
Yeah.
That's clever. That's nice.
I mean, a lot of pages will have those kind of buttons on it that will tell you this was tweeted 49 times, right? But you don't want to have to go and visit all those pages. And, this is kind of... It time saving, right? So do that for 10 of your competitors. See which content of theirs is being shared socially. I've now got a pretty good place to start my content strategy. Next up, and I'll kind of provide a link to this because you really need to sort of see the detail of this, but there's a huge amount of like ideas for content strategy that can come from your analytics, right? So I always try and look for key phrases which are sending me traffic to my site which contain a question word. It's like how, why, what, because they're easy pieces to write about, right? So it's answering a question, but where the page that the person is ending up on doesn't answer that question. So I do that by kind of looking, well, what's a what question based search queries have I got that goes to a page that based on the URL I know doesn't answer that question. So to give a good example, you know, I've used previously is, so on the site visibility website, we get search referrals on the term how to build a microsite, right? And then the page that they end up on is blog slash the date slash before building a microsite, ask yourself these SEO questions. I know that blog post isn't talking about how the process is of going about building a
microsite.
It just
mentions it, doesn't it?
It just mentions it. So if I can get traffic from on that search term, despite not really answering that question, if I write that, I could do really well. Bonus points go back to that one that's getting the traffic and link to the one that answers that question. So then if someone, you know, so you're helping the actual new page rank for that old search query.
So is this, a, rather than a tool, is this more of a technique?
Yeah, that's more a technique.
Sort of question referrers type technique. Okay.
Next up is one called Taluna. This is a paid for tool, but Taluna Quick.
T-O-L-U-N-A.
Yeah, I'll include all these links in the show notes. It's a place we can go and get people to fill in surveys for you. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's something like $10, $15, and you get like 100 responses in like minutes. So I could find out, and this is great for press releases or articles, right? So say I work in the sporting niche and someone's just bought a new football player, and I can survey how many fans of football think that person was overpriced. And then I've got 77% of football fans think that Manchester United paid too much for Robin Van Persie. That's a news article I can build around there as well. So that's Taluna. Quora, which is a, you know, it's a question and answer site. You've probably used it before, but that's great for coming up for content. So look at the questions that have been asked on there instantly. If someone's asking the question, someone's interested, you know, people are interested in that. But then quite often you've got the answers to the piece there. So in terms of a strong starting point for putting together a good blog post, go to Quora, find a question that's asked there, work on what that question is, summarize and understand the people who have used that question, and then kind of respond to that. Next up on my list is discussion search. This is, again, not necessarily a tool, but kind of more a technique. If you go to Google, type in one of your topics, you know, a keyword that you're doing, so say it's San Francisco things to do. And down the left-hand side, you've got the filter, so web, image, maps, videos, etc. Go to the more and choose discussions, right? So then that's limiting your search query to discussions. So that either means social media sites or forums.
This is one of the little things down on the left-hand side, isn't it? So you get web images, and a bit lower down, discussions.
And put simply, if you kind of do that, if you can find a forum post where there's 100 responses to a question, not only does someone ask that question, therefore it's interesting, you've got a lot of the ideas for your content already there. Now, I think with all of these, and like the previous one, you should be referencing back to your source material. But quite often you'll find that a forum isn't particularly well optimized for that search query. You know, forums often are very poorly SEO optimized. If you can write a good blog post that answers that question, take some of the highlights of that 40-page discussion and distills it into 750 words and it's all well referenced, you're in a strong place to perform well in search engines and get traffic.
I like this one, follower wonk.
Yeah, follower wonk. It's recently just been bought by SEOmoz. So if you've got an SEOmoz subscription, you get all the super duper premium functionality of follower wonk. Well, follower wonk is really just a search engine for Twitter users based on their biography. And then it gives you all kinds of like statistics about them, right? So what that means is I can find people who are business journalists and then sort them by their relative popularity. Or I can find people who are interested in food in Brighton and, you know, do that. So it's, again, it's about reaching out to people in the right way. So in content strategy, content outreach, email's not always the most effective way of doing that. Potentially, you could be doing that via Twitter. Follower wonk helps you find those people. Next up is a clever Google Doc from the guys at SEO Gadget. I will not tell you the URL for this because it's got like 84 digits and they're all random characters. But it's called the Content Idea Generator V2 Google Doc.
Is this something in their labs that they're working on?
This isn't Google Docs. Google haven't produced this. It's just someone who's used Google Docs to do this.
Oh, okay, right.
So Google Docs can pull in data using kind of XML.
Oh, of course it can, yes.
So essentially what you do here is you kind of use this Google Doc, you put in your search queries like hotels or travel or whatever it is that you're doing, and it will pull back the top Google News results, it'll pull back the top Bing News results, it'll pull back all these different sources of content about that keyword. Now, if I've got to come up with some content, this is just a single page I can go to and instantly be inspired by the news stories that are already happening around that term or phrase. So that's a real strong
place. This is really interesting, actually. It reminds me of a little bit. First of all, we had things like Google Reader and people saying use Google Reader to, and subscribe to things you're interested in that might be useful for blog posts. And then we had things like Flipboard, which did it in a nicer way. And then we got something like this. I wonder if we're going to see an explosion of kind of online apps that aggregate things we're interested in and automatically generate ideas you could talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
so a very concise way of doing
it. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could do similar with Flipboard, but it's kind of, this is kind of a more sort of for actually maybe I'm not personally interested in it, but my client or the, you know, it's quite good for that type of thing. But yeah, entirely. It's certainly coming from a similar place.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Next up is Kindle Direct Publishing, or KDP, they call that. And basically, what I wanted to get across there is really, really, really simple. If you can produce a Word document, you can produce a Kindle book.
Mm.
And a Kindle book could be free, or it could be paid for. And if it's paid for, you know, that's good. You might make some revenue out of it. But suddenly, as soon as you're a published author, or, you know, you've got a bigger asset that you've gone to the effort of putting into the Kindle store, that immediately puts you in a strong place. That could be a collection of blog posts you've already written. It could be something entirely new. It could be something that previously you might have released as a white paper, but you want to release as an ebook because it'll get more attention. But you can get into the Amazon store really simply using the Amazon KDP project. So that's a great tool.
So that will just convert a Word document into an ebook, a Kindle ebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Cloud Flood. Now, Cloud Flood is the tool that I've used for my ebook, which is free, and you get it if you pay with a tweet, right? So that's clockworkpirate.com is the location of that ebook. I originally used a tool called paywithatweet.com, which is still good, but there's one called Cloud Flood, which is just a little bit more reliable, and it's built by a guy called Glenn from Viperchill. So what Cloud Flood does is if you have a product, a file, a URL that's hosted on your site, you put that into a box, you put in the text of what you would like the person to share on Twitter or Facebook to get access to that, and then they'll give you a bit of code that you can drop into your site that gives you a button, right? So basically, they press this button, it takes them to Twitter or Facebook, it gives them a default text they can share, they share that. As soon as they share it, they get access to your file or
document.
Nice
stuff.
So what that means is it's very easy to spread things virally there. So if you have an asset, you can do that. And if you're trying to get social attention, something that, you know, maybe in the past you might have collected email addresses for, this might be better than collecting email addresses because you're getting the social spread thereof.
Okay.
Last of those is, Outbrain, which is kind of an interesting way. It's kind of the idea is that you can use it to get... It's kind of an advertising network for content rather than websites. So Outbrain, you could, if you've got your content and you're really impressed by it, but perhaps you haven't got a huge readership already... You can use Outbrain, and it basically what it does is it takes a picture in your title and puts that on other high authority websites. Now, you pay for that. It's not free. But if you've got a great bit of content that you just hasn't quite got the pickup you were hoping for, you haven't quite got the existing social network to promote that, Outbrain can be a great way of starting that process. And your hope then is that the people who visit that like it, share it socially.
Does Outbrain try and be intelligent about where it puts it?
Yeah, there's a kind of a level of kind of sophistication to it.
Okay.
You know, it's not like foolproof, but it's trying to make it as relevant as possible. And they're doing that for a couple of reasons, because they want it to be as relevant as possible, because the more relevant it is, the more likely a punter is to click. The more likely that punter is to click, the more likely they are to make
money.
Sounds a
bit like AdSense to me.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, but for content rather than just kind of general websites.
Right,
okay,
image. Yeah.
If you look at Outbrain, you use the examples there, you will have seen it. It's on websites like the Daily Beast and TMZ and Slate and all those types of websites. And my final tip, the little bit self-indulgent, I've already sort of talked about a bit, but this is kind of a book I wrote a couple of years ago. It was pre-Penguin, so perhaps not as completely up to date, but it's a book about link building and content strategy called Clockwork Pirate, and it's available at clockworkpirate.com using that kind of pay over tweet model that we suggested. Now, some of the tactics in there, perhaps I'd do a little bit less of now, like article syndication than I would have done in the past. But generally speaking, I think a lot of the advice there from about a year or two ago is still really, really sound and still really, really useful. So hopefully people could have a look at that and, yeah, maybe find some useful tips themselves.
Just a quick question, Kelvin. Yes. Have you thought of putting that on the Kindle?
That isn't on the Kindle. That's got a PDF and iPad edition, not the Kindle.
Okay. Just
didn't quite get round to it. Probably ought to.
Maybe one day.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Bye-bye.
And next up, this is a very bit of a premature bye-bye there, Kelvin.
Yeah.
Because I was just about to tell our two listeners that next time, we've got some questions and answers.
Yeah, we're all on the Q&A's.
Back to the Q&A's for a couple of episodes, I think, well, two or three episodes.
Yes.
Because we've got a nice little wad of questions that have built up. So we'll see you next time. Goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Calvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.